When I first started in ministry, I was extremely, extremely nervous and shy to get up in front of people. I hated to get up in front of people. All through elementary school, junior high school, college, it was just not for me. And I was so nervous, I'd have to write my prayers and read my prayers. And I got over it by doing exactly just walking through and working with other pastors that were friends. And so got over it. So anyway, thank you. Thank you for leading and all of that. I appreciate it. I get to tell people, we have a Monday morning prayer time every Monday at 9 o'clock, and several pastors will come and gather at our office, and they're connected to Don. And so I get to say, hey, guess what? I got to see Don yesterday, and you didn't, you know. We're continuing our study in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. The truth about trials and suffering, basically five things to do in these 16 verses. And so if we could stand together and read 1 Peter chapter 4, you know what's been going on. Peter is writing as encouragement to Christians that are coming out of the culture, and the idea is that they are no longer seen in a positive way. They're being mistreated and persecuted, and so Peter writes to encourage them. And so he says this when it comes to trials and sufferings. He says this starting in verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live with the rest of his earthly life for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge in with them in the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And above all, love each other deeply or fervently, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, for each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that they may be overjoyed with his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the time we share together as friends, as we look at this passage of Scripture, how enlightening and how strong it is in our world today, that we, all of us, go through all sorts of suffering and all sorts of trials and all sorts of issues. And to one, it's an issue. To another, it's not. And so each one of us has our own set of circumstances that we go through. And Father, we're so grateful that as believers, that we can always depend on you. And so, Father, teach us tonight. Teach us to be prepared. Teach us to work together for the glory of God, and that everything that we do, it would be to your glory and your honor. May we be a testimony to who you are. Father, now as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, everything that we say and do would be in keeping with your will and your wishes. But more than anything else, when we leave here in the next few moments, I pray that we would be closer to you because of our worst experience tonight and be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. We all have issues of suffering. We all have these things that we go through. And to some, it's one thing. That's really not a problem over here. You don't know my brand of suffering over here. My mom is 70. Let me see. She's 76 years old. She teaches Sunday school at Parkview Baptist Church in Lake City, and there was a couple that had some problems. And so their Sunday school class took and got together, formed a benevolence type of thing, and they started giving them food. That usually when you do this kind of thing, it lasts for about a week. But this thing was going on and on a couple of weeks, and the family came into town, and so it was all taken care of. But on the very last day that my mom was to bring some food over, there was a rotation of different people. She was walking down the path, and she fell, and she hurt her wrist, and she sprained both wrists. And it's like, Mom, how are you getting around with two sprained wrists? You know, you sure you don't need some help? No, I'm fine. Everything's all right. Well, you know, to some people it's a sprained wrist. To some it's an issue of, well, maybe it's a family crisis or something else, but nobody wants to talk about suffering, right? Nobody wants to talk about the issues. We can sit there and we can share things, but the things that really, really, really hurt us, we'd rather not discuss. And no one really knows when a tragedy will occur, a tragedy will hit, and nobody can predict what's coming around the corner. And so when it comes to these issues of trials and sufferings, it's a very difficult, delicate type of thing. Now, I want to read to you something by a son of a pastor here in the area. And this is a devotion. This guy has had all kinds of issues and problems, and he's gotten in some trouble. And I think he's in his 40s now. But he's talking about when we have something new in our life, but it has to be the new must replace the old. But to get the newness, a lot of time we have to be stripped of the old. The stripping process can be from God, or like a lot of times it comes from the consequences from our actions and sins. And then he kind of gives, he said, let me give you a little background on my stripping process. I was sentenced to 15 years in prison. On sentencing day, I saw my family and friends for the last time for a long time. I was escorted from the courtroom, put in a cell, got on my knees, and cried with prayer. When my wife left me, I got on my knees and cried and prayed. When my appeal was denied, I got on my knees and I cried and I prayed. When my parental rights to my children were stripped from me, I got on my knees, cried and prayed. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I got on my knees and I cried and prayed. Everything was being stripped with no sight of God. Though I didn't see him, I knew he heard me. So I cried my heart out in a broken hallelujah. It goes on from there. And so when it comes to the issue of suffering, it's a very strange thing. No one likes to talk about personal tragedy or failure. And Peter is writing to Christians to encourage them during a time of suffering and trial. And the idea here is we think somehow, and if you haven't, I can't answer for you, but I know I thought this way for a long time, that once I'm a believer in Christ, we kind of get this idea that we're exempt from pain and suffering, don't we? You know, now that I'm on the winning team, I'll never have another problem again, because I'm a saved believer and I'm a child of the King of Kings. We forget about the martyrs of the first century. We forget about the Reformation. We forget about Jesus himself. Peter says you will have tribulation, you will suffer, you will have trials. It's a part of life. And there are those who say that if you're having adversity, then you are somehow connected to sin. I don't know. Have you ever heard that? You know, well, there's got to be some sin in your life because you shouldn't be having adversity. You shouldn't be having problems. You should be free from all of that because you're a child of the King. And if you have something in your life, well, you've got a sin problem. And so what do you do when we face adversity? And how does the Christian respond? Well, if there is sin in your life, then you get on your knees and you ask God forgiveness. You repent and you move past it. But even just because you have something, an issue in your life, does not mean that you are out of the will of God. So the first thing out of these five things that we do is we prepare for it. In verse 1, prepare for it. If Christ suffered, then we will too. Since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves. For the servant is not greater than his master. Since Christ suffered, arm yourselves with the same attitude. Just because we're God's children does not mean we will have to suffer. So prepare for it. Along with that is, don't look to the past with gladness. There are times and seasons that I look back and I say, I didn't sign up for this. It's like, I don't know what this is, but I didn't sign up for it. And if I knew what was coming around the corner, I probably would have run the other way, right? And the old stuff kind of creeps in, and it's during those problems, those dark times, that we remember the days when, you know, I remember back in the day, the good old days, when I didn't have to worry about this, and this, because I was not feeling spiritual, and I didn't care about feeling spiritual. Peter says, don't go back when you were a pagan and you walked in various sins. In the Old Testament, we see the idea of don't go back to Egypt. Remember how many times they're in the desert and they're facing issues and they start saying, remember how good it was in Egypt. Now, I got to tell you, I would be complaining too. I mean, that's just the truth. When we get hardship happens, we complain. But once I saw the pillar of God, and once I saw the sea part, and once I saw the soldiers drown, I think I would be okay. Okay? But it would take a couple. I mean, the reality is, it would take a couple of miracles for us to, you know, get it. But the reality is that any time the Israelites faced adversity, let's go back to Egypt. Remember how good it was in Egypt. What are you talking about? It was horrible in Egypt. You know, our culture today is insane. We all move very fast, move too fast sometimes, and we all say, "Wow, wouldn't it be great to go back?" In fact, this is one of the discussions I have with Malcolm over. Over the porch, that we don't talk to each other. We didn't need air conditioning, and Florida didn't have air conditioning. I remember as a kid not having air. I want air conditioning. I don't want to go back to Egypt, you know. I don't want to go back. And so Peter says here, don't go back when you were a pagan just because you're having adversity. And then he mentions various sins, licentiousness, which is debauchery, and lust, the mind, or having a dirty mind, or drunkenness, which is not having a drink, but one who cannot make it a day without getting drunk. This person can't give blood because if the person bleeds, he bleeds out scotch and whiskey. Number 4, revelries, orgies, the idea of just having lustful parties. You know this, the clubs of the 60s and 70s gave us all of the issues of AIDS and all of the epidemic of the STDs in the 80s and 90s. Drinking parties, which is carousing, abominable idolatries. And he says, don't go back there. Remember, these are believers that had come out of the culture, and they are Christians, and they're starting new. And just because they're doing something different and not acting like the culture, they're being pushed on and pressured on. What do you mean you're not joining us tonight? Now, Peter's like taking, you know, you got the low road or the high road? Let's take a little quiz, real quick. When we take the low road, which is the world, we have a revenge factor when wronged. As believers, We say grace and forgiveness when wronged. Number two, according to the world standards, we play people games. People games means people are used and manipulated to set our own personal agenda. As believers, there are no people games because we live by Christian principles. The low road of the world says we are guided by emotions, how I feel. And if I feel this way, I'm going to do this. And what was one of the popular songs in the 60s? If you can't love the one, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Emotion, pure emotion. Taking the high road, you're guided by Christian values. And number four, the low road, you live for self. Whereas the high road, believers live for Christ. And again, if we note, it was this cultural mandate that in the Greco-Roman culture that all pagans would pay homage to the king. And Christians were seen as being weird because they didn't do it. And so the idea here is that don't live as the world lives, but live this strange life as believers. So prepare for it. Don't look back to the past with gladness. Third, trials and suffering is a response to maturing our character. And then in verses 7 through 9, he says, keep alert, be clear-minded, practice self-control. Now, these in Greek are not ideas that we, you know what, Peter's saying, you know, you ought to try this. No, Peter, these are commands. These are tenses that are commands. Do this, just like the Nike commercial, just do it. Do it. Be self-controlled. And he says, not only are you to be self-controlled, but have this love for each other. Have a fervent love for each other. This agape love, the highest form of God's love, the highest form of love, eager. This love is not prompted by emotion, what the other people can do for me, but what can I do for other people? For what love covers a multitude of sins. Now, some take that verse out of context to say that a believing wife can pray for her unbelieving husband, and because she loves him, she can love him into the kingdom. No, that's not what that means. Let me tell you what. My mom, who came out of a pagan culture, I meant to tell you that earlier, Doug, as we were talking, thank God for godly grandparents. If you're a godly grandparent, thank you. Because my grandparents, because my parents didn't go to church when I was younger. And my grandparent took us to church. And it was through the testimony of my grandparents that my mom got saved. That's a long story. But my mom is because of her background, she's all into grace. And because she's all into grace, she sometimes can be taken advantage of. And what she will do is, oh, this person over here, and the maybe the black sheep of the family, well, he doesn't mean anything. And I'll tell her, I said, Mom, you know what? One day we're all going to be there. We're going to stand in line, and we're going to have to face God all by ourselves. And the thing is that you can't, when this person gets in line and starts to talk to God, you can't, you know, jump the line and jump up there and say, it's okay, God, because he's had a rough life. It doesn't work that way. And you can't love somebody. You can possibly pray them and love them, but they have to make the decision whether to accept Christ or not. What this means is love itself, if we love and we show grace to each other, it covers over a multitude of sins. It's easier. If I'm showing love, it covers over the things that somebody has done to me. And so have fervent love for one another. Not that our love atones for the sins of others, but love lets us get to the place where we forgive other people when they hurt us because of agape love. Love does not stir up issues, but rather bears with the sins of others. So show fervent love and then be hospitable. Don't grumble. Be warm and inviting to others. Don't grumble. Now, It's a wonderful, we don't have time to do this, but I mean, we could, you know, all of us, you know, this is in present tense Greek, is it's grumbling and ongoing grumbling. And so it's not that you have an issue and you're venting, but it's the idea that's all you do. And there's nothing more annoying, okay, than, right, say annoying, right? It's nothing more than somebody that all you know them for is the grumble and grumble and grumble and grumble. And so Peter said, don't be in a state of grumbling, but be hospitable. And so we see that as far as a boomer, the new cult, well, it's not new anymore. The new cultural phenomenon is family cocooning, where you don't see, this is why you don't see boomers and youngers in church sometimes, is on Friday they come in from work, they put the car in the garage, and then they just kind of disappear as a family for the weekend, and then they reappear on Monday. And so this issue of you know, being inward focused, no, Peter says be hospitable to people. And so we are to love other people. So we're to prepare for it when we go through trials and suffering. Don't look to the past with gladness. Trials and suffering is a response to maturing our character. Number four, trials and suffering is not a respecter of all Christians. In other words, each Christian has at least one spiritual gift. You all, each one of you, has at least one spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift is to be exercised to glorify God. And so everyone here has something to offer. And we need people to do church. Exercise your gift is what Peter is saying. Well, maybe you can help with administrative things, or maybe you can help with the nursery, or maybe you can help with the singing, or maybe you can help whatever it is. Exercise your gift. And the last thing is, trials and suffering is a time of rejoicing for our Heavenly Father. Don't get discouraged when trials and suffering occurs. The Christian should know when they come and be prepared for it. It's a time to trust God. Look for a blessing or a teachable moment during a time of trial or suffering. Watch for misguided sufferings. Don't suffer. If you're going to suffer, don't waste your time suffering. In the Bible, we see don't suffer for nothing. And he mentions being a murderer, one who kills, or a thief, one who steals, an evildoer, one who does evil and deceitful things, one who does bad things or criminal activity. And then he mentions a meddler, or some of your translations may say busybody, one who meddles or interferes in the affairs of others. Don't waste your time, is what Peter's saying. Don't waste your time suffering or getting involved in these kinds of things. But remember what your purpose of suffering is, enduring trials. And he says this, it's not for shame, but rather to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. So suffer for the right reason. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing more ridiculous or absurd than for a believer to be embarrassed of Christ. And remember the context. This is Peter. And maybe he was thinking about the time that he denied Christ. And he knew that night. And he said, bold Peter, you know, I don't care what anybody else does. I'm with you. I'm with you to the end. And Jesus says, you know, Peter, before tonight's over, you will deny me three times. Not me. Never me. And then each time, as he's watching Jesus in the arrest and all of the things of that night, and then that last time when he says, I don't know the man. And how ashamed, how embarrassed. Don't retreat from being a Christian. You know, I marvel, like I say, this is summer, so it's not football season. But don't you marvel at these people? You all go to football games, or your kids go to football games, or, and they dress up, and they color their faces, and they get, you know, all kinds of stuff. And they look like doofuses, you know. And yet when it comes to church, I'm embarrassed because I go to church, you know. In fact, one of the last games I went to was years ago. We stopped going to games because I was just frustrated how expensive it was. And my team's losing, you know. It's like, if I'm going to watch them lose, I'll just do it at home. But my neighbor gave us tickets to the Packer game. He had season tickets. And, the Green Bay Packers they're known for their cheese heads, you know, and they put a cheese on their head, you know. Yeah, I mean, serious. And so I was real excited. I wanted to see what this thing, and so I got my picture taken with this guy with the cheese head and all this. And on the way out, I wanted to see what this thing is made out of, you know. So I kind of tapped this guy on the head. And he got all, like, belligerent on me, like, we were going to fight. I just want to feel the cheese head because I want to see what it feels like and what it's made out of, you know. But it's amazing how we get so involved in our stuff, but when it comes to God, we're embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Glorify God. Everything we do is a testimony or an embarrassment to Jesus. And so trials are going to happen, so prepare for it. Arm yourself. Don't look back to the past when they happen. Trials are a response to maturing our character. Trials are not respecters of persons. Each person has some sort of spiritual gift and has something they can bring to the table for Jesus. And then trials are a time for rejoicing and glorifying God. I think I've shared with you, I have a son that's special needs. And it's been a journey. He's 19, and it's been a journey. And it's something that, I normally don't talk about it. I'll mention things here and there, but it's not, when I look at all the, it's just an, if you know anything about special needs or autism, it's just an ongoing process of medicines and doctors and this and that and this and that. And it's just, it's overwhelming. And there are times when I have honestly said, God, how can I, as a minister of the gospel, do what you've called me to do when I've got all the stuff that we, it's just overwhelming. And then, it's kind of like, the pity party, all of that. And then, I look around, and if there are a handful of pastors in our association that have special needs children. And I watch them, and it's amazing because again, we're all in our little special club. We're in an exclusive club that no one wants to be a part of. That's just the truth. But it's amazing to watch certain pastors with their issue, with their special needs kids. And each one is a little different, and each one is the same. And, I look and I said, and they're such examples. Because I know what they go through. I understand what they deal with. And still, they make it work. You make it work. You make it work. And so whatever that brand of suffering is for you tonight, whatever it is, remember that Jesus knows. God knows. And God's with you. And so the fact is that when it comes to these things, prepare for it. Because if Jesus had to go through it, we have to go through it. And when it happens, don't look back like, and I can't deal with this. I remember what it was like before I was saved. Don't do that. Because God is taking you through the issue, through the trial, through the suffering, through the problem, and He's maturing you, and He's molding you, and He's shaping you, and He's making you stronger. And then He wants you to take the gifts that He's given you and use it for His glory. Because at the end of the day, the last thing is that everything we do, everything glorifies our Lord and Savior. And so whatever the issue is, always remember, it's going to be okay. Because God knows and He's with us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that in our own brand of suffering, in our own brand of issues, in our own identity of whatever the problem is, when we are by ourselves, we sometimes take it well, and sometimes we don't take it well. And Father, teach us tonight that Your Holy Spirit is with us. Reveal Yourself to us tonight in such a way that we're strengthened and emboldened, and whatever the issue is, that we know that You're going to work it for whatever that testimony is, because we're going to glorify not ourselves, not the situation, but we glorify You in what we do. Father, be with us, and as we leave tonight, protect us. Father, each one of us has things that we're just dealing with. Each one has a season of things. And so, Father, just protect us. Remind us of Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.